Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Isn't it good to be together today, no matter how we have to do it? You know, we're here with you wherever you are, your church, wherever you go. And so to be in your home or wherever you're gathering with your friends and family, it's just a fantastic thing that we're able to do. And this is truly your church anywhere you go. Now, in case you've lost all sense of time and space and your days are starting to kind of run together, it's Palm Sunday and Easter is just around the corner. And I always love these days leading up to Easter because it's a time when we feel this sense of anticipation, of celebration, and of hope. And if there's ever a time in our world where we need all three of those things, it's today. And as Christ followers, Easter, even more so than Christmas, represents the defining foundational moment of our faith. That Jesus paid this incredible price so that our sins could be forgiven and we could have this brand new start. But the best part of the story is it didn't end there. Death couldn't keep Jesus down. And it gets even better than that, because today, if you're struggling, if you're going through something that maybe you feel like you've been knocked down for the count, you don't have to stay down either. Because if he is in you, then that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead abides within you. And that, resurrected king, he's resurrecting me. And that's the thing that we celebrate. You know, Jesus took the worst that the world could throw at him, and he rebranded a symbol of torture and death and made it a symbol of hope, so that when we see the cross, even in the middle of the night, as it's lit up within the neighborhood, on the top of the church, we have that sense of what God can do, of possibility. And Jesus' triumphal entry to Jerusalem on this day, the day that we remember, it marks the beginning of a week that literally changes everything. Not just for the world, but for you and I, for our families, for all of our relationships. Palm Sunday is a day that he is celebrated as Messiah, as Savior, as Redeemer and King. He's the hope of Israel, and he is our hope today. Now, even though this is going to be an ISO Easter this year, we're still celebrating, and we're going to bring the party to you. And so we will be broadcasting live on Easter Sunday at 9 and 10:30, and for our Mandarin campus at 9 a.m. So gather everybody together, invite some people on social media, jump in on the live chat. We'd love to talk to you, pray with you, and be there with you. Now, normally today, on the first Sunday of every month, we celebrate communion together. But we're going to wait a few days and celebrate as a family on Good Friday, as we usually do here at Calvary. And so this year, it's going to be a BYOB occasion. Bring your own bread and juice or wine, whatever you prefer. And we're going to celebrate communion together in a short service on Good Friday that I know you will remember for a long time to come. You know, this past week we kicked off our small groups online through Zoom here at Calvary, and it was fantastic. We had a group meeting every night of the week, seven nights a week at 7 p.m. And so I was able to jump in on some of those meetings and say hello and pray with everybody. And I'll tell you what, I miss all of you, all your smiling faces here in the house. And so it was so good to see you online. And so I want to encourage you, if you're feeling isolated, if you're feeling alone, jump online and stop by and say hello, because there's a group of people that would love to connect with you. And if you have kids or students, I want to remind you that you can check on our Calvary YouTube channel every week. There's new content that we provide there, on-demand content that you can get for the kids and for your students. And go ahead and click the like button and sign up, subscribe to the channel so that we can keep you up to date with all the new content that's coming your way. Okay, let's jump into the Word of God today. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 1, and we're going to read through to verse 3. The Scripture says this: "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes," or fixing our view or our focus, "on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, and that's you and me, that's what he was looking past the agony of the cross. He was looking to you and I. The Bible says he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If there's ever a time for that word, it's today. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart with whatever it is that you're facing. As we deal with all the things and the restrictions that are on us all around the world and even here in our own city, don't grow weary. Trust him. And so Jesus demonstrates that our perseverance and our focus is what actually determines our endurance. Your life view influences how you develop, especially during seasons of crises. You know, I've done a fair amount of traveling in my life, both with ministry and personally. It's actually one of the things that I love to do in life. And in that time, we've had the liberty to go really wherever we want until now. And so now all these restrictions are in place, and there's not a lot of planes in the sky right now. A lot of us are grounded from doing any kind of travel. But in that time, I've probably booked countless flights and rental cars and hotel rooms online. You know how it goes. And here's the thing. When you go to book a hotel room online, the cost of that room is determined by the kind of room that you'll book. Is it a big room, a small room? Has it got one bed, two beds? Does it have a view? If it has a view, is it an ocean view? Is it a mountain view? Maybe you have a view of the pool. Or maybe you get a better price because you have a view of the parking lot. Or you have a view of an old rusty air conditioning unit that's on the roof. And so for me, I think the last ministry trip that we went on, we got into our hotel late at night. And this hotel was actually close to the ocean. And so they had booked a block of rooms for those, the ministers that were coming to this meeting. And so I think they said it had a partially obstructed view of the ocean, meaning that you could probably lean your head out the window and see the ocean in the distance. But when we got there late at night, there was some kind of a problem with our booking. And so they were very apologetic about it. And they said, you know what, we've gone ahead and upgraded you to a superior ocean view. So not just any kind of ocean view, but a superior ocean view. So that was great. I just said, thank you. We just wanted to get in our room and settle down. But you know what? If somebody says that to you, usually the first thing that you do when you walk into that room is you put down your bags, you go over to the window, and you see if it truly is a superior ocean view. And in this case, it was actually a beautiful view. But you know what? The greater the view, the greater the cost. It all is determined by the kind of view that you have. And so a room with a view costs you and I something, but a life with a view cost him everything. On this Palm Sunday, we consider a different view, a view of the journey to Calvary's cross through those who were there in the moment who saw it firsthand. A view from Jesus' perspective on the back of a donkey riding in on a day like we're celebrating today on Palm Sunday. As people were, it was chaos in the streets, but it was a celebration. It was exciting. People were waving palm branches and throwing their jackets down onto the ground and crying out, Hosanna. They were celebrating as this hero came to town. Now, usually this kind of procession coming in on a donkey in this kind of way, like a parade, was usually reserved for a conquering king after a battle. It was a symbol of peace that the war was over. And so Jesus was actually signaling some greater truth when it comes to the kingdom of God in this moment. But even in the midst of this celebration, during his triumphal entry into the city, Jesus still maintained a fixed view of where this parade was actually headed, not to a palace, but to a cross, a difficult destination, but one that he was determined to see through. He knew that this parade would end with incredible personal sacrifice. The cross view of Jesus was really a view of you. That's what he saw. That's what gave him the strength to endure. That's what the joy that we read about in Hebrews chapter 12 that was set before him, that's the thing he held out there to be able to see his way through it, to persevere, to endure through this horrible pain that was to come. It was a view of hope. It was a view of hope in the midst of hopelessness. It was a view of light in the midst of darkness. It was a new beginning. But he needed to pay for it with his own life. It's the very same hope, actually, that you and I need in the things that we're facing today. You know, if we think honestly, I don't think God wants us to get back to just to get back to normal when this is all over. I think he wants us to be better, to improve, to come closer to him, to discover a new daily perspective in our lives that has a healthier view of the joy that's ahead of us than the steady flow of crisis news coverage that sometimes we're subjected to in the course of a day. Psalm 94, verse 19 says, "When anxiety was great within me," listen, "your consolation brought me joy." You ever notice that you can be going through Twitter or watching the news and you hear things that are happening around us and you can feel this anxiety, this tightness that's actually physically, you can feel it in your chest. But the Bible says in Psalm 94:19 in a different translation, it says, "When anxiety was great within me, your comfort brought me renewed hope and cheer." We need some renewed hope right now. You see, crisis will always move you forward or backward, depending on your perspective. And when we look back at the cross, we have a view of what we're called to do in this life, and also the hope that we're assured of. And regardless of our perspective, of how we see that, we're all called to respond in the same way, with awe and worship before the one who took the weight of the cross for each of us. He paid an extremely high price for our freedom, for our anxiety, for our sickness, for our hopelessness. He gave his life so that we could be freed from those things. We don't just need a vaccine for a virus to see us through this storm right now. What we need is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the strength and hope that we need to persevere. And regardless of what we've accomplished in this life, it pales in comparison to the hope that I can only find in knowing who Jesus is. Hope that was first given to us so that we then could give it and impart it to other people. You see, hope is a spiritual force. It's a very powerful thing that's activated through our faith in God's ability to help us live the life that he actually intends for us to live. And through life's storms, it's his hope that keeps us secure. Because hope is a confident expectation that is anchored in something that's not going anywhere. That's where we need to be fixed. This confident hope assures us that it's going to be okay, even when others are saying it's not. Because I've secured myself in what the Bible says in Hebrews 6:19. It says, "We have this hope as an anchor to the soul, firm and secure." You know, there's not a lot right now that feels firm or secure. But when we anchor ourselves to him, we can actually live a life that is stable again. You see, the greatest sickness that we face today isn't a sickness of the body. It's not a virus that we catch. It's actually the sickness of the soul. Proverbs says that when your hope is deferred, when you lack it, it actually makes our heart feel sick. And so I want you to know today that as a church, that you are a blessing to this community, to our city, to our nation. You can make a difference. And whether you feel that you need it or not today, God has also promised you hope in this moment. Whatever situation that you're facing, financial, physical, mental, whatever it is, he wants to give you that hope wherever you are today. And sometimes you can anchor to things that are moving all the time. And when the wind picks up, we feel like we're drifting at sea. But it's those times when Jesus comes in and speaks stillness and peace to the storm that we're in. He brings stability when the whole world seems to be shaking. I remember sitting in my front room once when we had an earthquake in the city and looking at my mantelpiece as it shifted. Some of us feel like that today. Some of us feel like everything that can be shaken is being shaken. But God wants to bring you peace today. He wants to bring stability in the midst of all of that upheaval. You see, his cross view, his focus and perseverance made a way to hope for all of us. He endured so that we could endure. So here's my challenge to you as we journey towards Easter together. It's to tap into the sources of hope that God provides for each of us so that we in turn can be a blessing to others, so that we can look at people even during times like this and provide an encouraging word, that we can love well and help people to know that this too shall pass, that a brighter day is coming. So let me give you three sources that God gives us of overflowing promised hope, the hope that I'm talking about here today. The first one is this. It's God's presence. God's presence. Being in the presence of God will always change you. You will always be affected. It will anchor. It will fill you with hope. You know, when I feel like all hell is breaking loose around me, I need to get alone with God. I need to just be still. And sometimes not say a word, just listen. Because when I do, I know that he loves me, that he's with me, that he'll never leave me or forsake me, that I'm never alone. Being in God's presence grounds me in that moment as I abide in him. Because that's really my go-to source of hope, is in those moments to just still myself, quiet myself. You see, there's absolutely nothing that compares to that. Stop, breathe, and be in the presence of God. Psalm 62:5 says, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him." My hope doesn't come from a government bailout when it comes to financial aid. My hope isn't even in an understanding of how to battle an unknown virus. My hope is in him. The second source that we need to go to is God's promises. God's promises. Listen, if you will read the Bible as much as you watch the news, and even more so, I guarantee you that hope will rise within you. And that hope will renew stability in your thinking. It will renew stability in your emotions. Open whatever device you use and just read it. His truth will restore that stability. Confident hope always springs from his promises. Psalm 119:81 says this, "My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word." Hold on to his promises. And then finally, number three, the third source of hope for us that God has given us is God's purpose. It's his purpose in our life. You know, as a church, everything that we do is to point you and your family towards the same place. It's to become a fully devoted follower of Christ, a disciple that is obedient when God tells us to move, that we will move. And as disciples, as Christ followers, we're committed to growth. We're committed to develop, not to stop or be sidelined, to walk in his purpose. And the greatest hope is when you can confidently say, "I know why I've been brought to this time. God chose you for this moment." Don't freak out. Don't panic that, "Why am I in this part of history? People that have gone before me never had to deal with this." Well, if you go far enough back, some people did. But God chose you for such a time as this, and we as a church, to bring hope to a world that is lacking it, to bring light into a dark place. Real hope is understanding our purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 in the Message translation says it this way, "I know what I'm doing," God says. Sometimes I think we try to help him too much. Let me just help you with that. He's like, "I know what I am doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, to take care of your family, to take care of your neighbors. I have a plan to take care of you all, not to abandon you. Plans to give you a future, the future that you hope for. That's the promise of God. Never forget this. Matthew 21, 10 to 11, when it talks about Jesus coming into the city, the Bible says that it actually affected the people that were there. More than just a celebration, that something happened. There's a spiritual dynamic that happened when Jesus entered the city. The Bible says when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. You see, hope had arrived. Love came to town. I'm hearing you too in the back of my mind right now. Jesus had come. And then they began to say, who is this? And then the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Listen, cities are being transformed by the power of Jesus. So let's put ourselves in the story. When we enter Vancouver, Surrey, Richmond, Langley, Abbotsford, White Rock, when we enter Toronto, Halifax, Calgary, New York City, Taiwan, doesn't matter where, you put your city in what I've just said. When we enter our city, the whole city will be stirred. God will do something. Hope will come. And when people ask, who are those people? What's the deal with them anyways? We'll answer, it's Jesus. It's the hope that we have that is not dependent upon our limited understanding of how we're going to get through this. Our hope is connected to the Creator who will always see us through. It's that hope, the hope that abides deep within our hearts. So today we celebrate Jesus as our King, a man who with fixed hope for who we would be, persevered and endured because of you. The joy that was set before him. And now we can fix our hope on him. We can persevere and endure whatever it is we face, whether it's this or whatever will come, because of the joy of the promises that he's given us, that we know that joy will always be our strength, even when we feel exhausted and we don't know that we can go on. We need to keep our fixed hope on him. Would you bow your heads with me today, wherever you are? I want to pray for you. I want to believe for God's hope to settle deep in your heart. Father, I thank you today for our time together. I pray for our church community. I pray for our community at large and for our city and nation. I pray, dear God, that the church would rise up, that they, through your power, would speak the words of hope, and that we would have fixed hope within our hearts that is anchored to you. And that, Lord Jesus, the joy that you've put out ahead of us, the joy of returning back to an abundant life where our freedoms are restored, Lord Jesus, will give us the energy and the faith to persevere, to endure. You endured so that we could endure. So right now in Jesus' name, wherever you are today, I speak the hope of Almighty God into your life, into your family, into your mind, into your body. And may the health of God just be with you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.